That's big time.
Minus 15.
Respect all, fear none.
Oh, did he belt that one?
Intensity is not a perfume.
It was a no doubter.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We are up in the bird's nest here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I'm Brennan Mortensen alongside Matt Bonaparte. Bones, you're back.
Yeah, man.
I had a week off.
What did you do at the place? I feel like...
What do you mean, what did we
like
do?
I feel like the mic is... I can't see
I
you
I thought
as
about
well.
This.
Yeah, man.
I think that when we put the mics back up, I put them further up this way.
Yeah, further
way.
Up for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a harder
there's a weird
angle. Anyway, I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah. I mean, you left and it was like... 30 degrees, not really. And then you came back and it was about 100.
Yeah, I mean, I was
neither of those things are true, but that's what it felt like.
I was
like.
Speaking to some Baltimore Orioles staff in the elevator recently. Flex. I mean, we skipped right from winter to summer. We didn't do the spring.
We
didn't do it this year. We said no spring.
No.
We're going to do the summer right from the winter.
Yeah, which was an odd, really odd transition.
I didn't like it.
Because we came back to the ballpark and it was scorching.
Gazillion degrees.
A gazillion.
Yeah.
Scientific measurement there.
The Orioles are now also beating the Yankees.
Yeah.
Look at that.
In the scorching weather. The Orioles are scorching, you might say.
Yes, they are.
That's the segue I thought you were going to go for and then did.
I was talking about how my return has given the Orioles strength. That's what I was really saying.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you were gone when the Orioles struggled a little bit against the A's, and now that you're back, they're beating their division foe, and that's huge for you.
What I've been saying to people.
Yeah. You are the reason that the Orioles are finding more success. That's great.
They're very good, by the way, this team. Yeah. I don't know if you knew that.
Very good.
But I was watching them last night from the stands.
and you said, wow.
I was saying, wow. This is a good team.
We're going to talk about this team because this team is going to get better this week with the return of a couple of pitchers. We're going to talk Kyle Bradish and John Means and what that means for the starting rotation and for the rest of the Orioles pitching staff in general. But first, we'll start with some roster moves. And that's the return of C&L Perez and the rather surprising option of Dylan Tate.
Yeah, I didn't expect it.
No.
Not going to act like I did. But, you know, you look around the bullpen and you think about options and whatnot. And Webb had no options and Bauman doesn't have any options. So I think Dylan Tate just kind of pulled the short straw on that one. And it's just kind of a matter of circumstance. But, you know, he'll come back and better. You know, it's not like he's been bad, but... we haven't seen, you know, Dylan Tate.
Yeah. As you mentioned, it was really a case of reliever options and the Orioles wanting to give themselves as many potential arms as possible down the stretch here. Like you mentioned, Jacob Webb, C&L Perez, Mike Bauman, Yoan Ramirez are all out of options. So the Orioles would not be able to send them down to AAA Norfolk without designating them for assignment, which gives other teams around baseball the opportunity to claim one of those guys. And, you know, somebody like Bauman, Yoan Ramirez, who are potential DFA candidates, I think there's a chance that both of those guys could be claimed by another team because a lot of teams in baseball need pitching and they have good stuff. Keegan Aiken only has one option left, but he's been pitching really well. I don't think he was a candidate
either. One of the
only
lefties we have.
Yeah. Dylan Tate still has two options after this one, I believe. And as you mentioned, the surface level numbers for Dylan Tate were good. 11 games, a 2.84 ERA, a whip just over 1,000. But you start to dive a little bit deeper into Dylan Tate's advanced numbers, and they're not great. And I know advanced numbers aren't everything, but if you were as surprised as we were that Dylan Tate was the one who got optioned, you start to look for reasons why. And, you know, even still pretty high on the surface there, 12 and two-thirds innings, only 6 strikeouts and had 6 walks. That's not very good.
Yeah.
Not striking a lot of guys out, but that's not really Dylan Tate's MO. He's going to be a ground ball pitcher, but you would still like to see more than 6 strikeouts in 12 and two-thirds innings of work. And then I'm going to rattle off a lot of numbers here on his advanced stats, but he was in the 26th percentile in expected ERA, 16th percentile in fastball velocity, which is an important one to keep in mind because his sinker velocity is down a few miles an hour from where it was a few seasons ago. 6th percentile average exit velocity, 8th percentile chase rate, 1st percentile whiff rate, 4th percentile strikeout rate, 5th percentile hard hit percentage. Those numbers individually, you don't have to memorize them. There's not going
to
be a quiz.
I was about to say, if you're curious, all that means is he's struggling.
Overall, it means that Dylan Tate has not been pitching as well as his 2.84 ERA and his whip over 1,000 would indicate.
First percentile on whiff rate.
Yeah, that's not good.
He's not like a big swing and miss guy, so no. Like I'm not so, but like first percentile's crazy.
He's not missing
he's
a
not
lot
getting
of bats.
A single swing and miss. Like that's absurd.
No, he is not getting many. And he is inducing some relatively weak contact. Like he's getting enough ground balls, but fifth percentile hard hit percentage, that's not very weak contact.
Yeah.
So he's not missing a lot of barrels. And yes, the ERA and whip are good right now. But if you're asking yourself, okay, why do all of those advanced numbers matter if he's still got an ERA under 3, if the whip is still good, it's because those advanced numbers would indicate that his numbers are going to get worse,
yeah.
That his ERA is going to get worse, his whip is going to get worse, because if guys keep not whiffing, not chasing, and hitting the ball hard, bad things are probably going to happen.
Tell him, dude.
So, yeah, that's what the advanced numbers are for here.
Now, on the flip side of this, what do you think CNL Perez's his role is going to be? I mean, this is a bullpen, right, in which with the absence of Felix Bautista and now the recent absence of Craig Kimbrell, even though he'll be back very soon, maybe tonight, you haven't seen a consistent late game. Like last night, I didn't think they'd leave Jacob Webb in for the ninth.
Sure.
But they did. And like, I was thinking maybe CNL Perez is a guy for that kind of situation. They have a lot of guys who are like fringe high level situation guys, right? Like,
yeah.
Like Coulomb, we've seen him in the high leverage situations and he's been very good, but you're not sitting there going, all right, give me Danny Coulomb right here over Craig Kimbrell or something like that. So I was just thinking, you know, he's a lefty specialist, surely CNL Perez, but you know, with the three batter rule that kind of has diminished in the game. But we'll probably see what he did last year. Again, I like Perez. I really do. He throws the ball really hard. He plays against lefties really well. I always go back to that Yordan Alvarez strikeout he had last year in Houston, where he was just a man on fire.
Yeah.
But what do you see his role as right now?
Well, like, I think we're going to talk about Craig Kimbrell here in a minute, but I think Perez just works right into the sixth, seventh, eighth inning guys. Because you had one in Dylan Tate that Perez came back up to the majors for. I think Yennier Cano is pretty solidly your eighth inning guy. Danny Coulomb has looked great in high leverage situations. I think Jacob Webb is proving that he could be a sixth, seventh, eighth inning guy as well. So I think that's really going to just come down to matchups, right? I think Brandon Hyde has enough options to work with in the sixth, seventh, eighth innings where you can throw Cano. I mean, two nights ago, we saw Yennier Cano in the seventh inning of that ball game just because it was the heart of the Yankees order. You brought in Yennier Cano to get out Aaron Judge, and he did. So it wasn't necessarily, we need Cano for the eighth or the ninth. It was, we need our best relievers for the highest leverage situations, even if that comes in the seventh inning because Aaron Judge is up at the plate. I think Perez works right into that conversation where, you know, he's not in the Mike Baum and Yoan Ramirez tier of, like, don't really feel comfortable with them in high leverage situations right now. But I think Perez could work pretty easily into that sixth, seventh, eighth inning role somewhere as a matchup dependent kind of guy. You don't want Perez in there against a lot of right-handed hitters. You would like Perez to go left on left as much as possible. So if the game dictates that, I think that's where we're going to see CNL Perez.
I agree. And, you know, I think going into this year and even early in the season, if you look at the Orioles roster, and this is a testament to how good it is, but you look at the bullpen, it's probably the weakest link of it. And
sure.
Through early games in the season, I think they've given you a really good performance. I mean, you've got a lot of talent in there that is playing pretty darn well when it goes to, you know, Kimbrell, Cano, Coulomb, all those guys. Like, all the names that you kind of needed to step up and be that, you know, that presence out of the pen have kind of been there. So I think you got to be pretty happy as an Orioles fan with what you have in terms of the guys in the pen right now.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Adding CNL is really nice.
There are a lot of options, and we're going to talk about Craig Kimbrell here in a minute because you don't have a Felix Bautista. There are still a lot of solid options. Another thing to keep in mind with Dylan Tate, too, before we move on here, this is a guy who missed the entire 2023 season.
Yeah.
And he pitched, I think, just over 73 innings in 2022, the last time we saw him for a full year. This could also be a case where you were trying to limit his innings a little bit instead of having him throw 70 to 75 in 2024. Maybe you were looking at closer to 60 to 65. So Dylan Tate, he was going to be unavailable. He had pitched in, I think, 2 of 3 days or back-to-back days, and he was probably going to be unavailable for a day or two. So you send him back down. Maybe you're just trying to limit his workload a little bit because he is still coming back from a season-long injury a year ago, and you don't want him throwing probably 75 innings this year.
Yes. That is something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to Brandon Hyde at winter meetings, and he seemed as excited about as us about the potential return of the 2022 Dylan Tate, but I think we all need to take a step back and look at the realistic factor of the game. And like you said, he's coming back from not pitching for an entire year, and that does something to your arm.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that you have to give him that kind of leeway in terms of finding his way back on the mound for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk Craig Kimbrel. There is not a roster move with Kimbrel. He has missed the last few games with some back tightness. It flared up in that game against the Athletics where, you know, he threw a pitch, didn't look right, came back in, gave up the 2-run homer, then got taken out after that. There was clearly something up with Craig Kimbrel. Not going to worry about his long-term availability until there is something to worry about with his long-term availability. There was a question as to whether or not he would be available yesterday. The Orioles didn't need him yesterday. Yesterday, they opted for Jacob Webb. Whether that was a decision based on Craig Kimbrel's health or just Brandon Hyde's confidence in Jacob Webb in that spot, we're not sure. But Kimbrel, again, no roster move, but he has missed the last few games with an injury. He's allowed 3 earned runs in his last 2 outings. But, like, this is who Craig Kimbrel has been for the last few seasons of his career. He is incredibly streaky. And we have talked about it before, but Felix Bautista is not on this team right now. And Felix Bautista was arguably the best reliever in all of baseball a season ago. This was somebody who was in the Cy Young conversation for a majority of the season. Craig Kimbrel is still a very good closer, but he is not Felix Bautista. He's not the best closer in all of baseball. Felix Bautista was dominant.
He was just
ridiculous. You could get 2-inning saves out of the guy. Anything that you needed him to do, you felt confident in winning the baseball game when Felix Bautista was on the mound. And in Craig Kimbrel, you still have a Hall of Fame caliber closer who has had an outstanding career, and he has looked pretty good throughout the season. Again, his surface level numbers are pretty solid right now, but you have to expect and understand that this is what Craig Kimbrel is going to bring you. He is going to bring you some streakiness. Last year, he had an ERA over 4 in April, over 8 in May. Then he goes to June, an ERA of 0.69, and then a 1.38 in July. Made the All-Star team. And he ends the season with a 5.73 ERA in August and a 1.50 ERA in September and October.
It's a roller coaster of emotions, this guy.
It's a reliever. He's going to be volatile. He's going to be a little bit all over the place. It's not Felix Bautista. It's not the best closer in all of baseball. And you've got to temper your expectations a little bit.
Yeah. I think that you know what you have in him, like you said. But, yeah, it's going to hurt not to have Felix on the mound. And, you know, we knew this was going to happen and whatnot. But in terms of the injury and in terms of the options they have in the bullpen, I still think Kimbrel's a pretty good guy to have. Regardless of the streakiness, I'm still pretty confident every time he goes out there. And, yeah, is he going to have some rough outings? I think pretty much every single closer is. The Oriole fans have been blessed with Felix Bautista as of late, so you kind of forget what it is to have a guy who isn't Felix Bautista. But I think, you know, Kimbrel, he'll settle in and he'll have those great months. And we'll be sitting here talking about, is this 2015 Craig Kimbrel all over again? And things like that. So, yeah, I think the back tightness, whatever. He's an older guy, you know, veteran in his career. This is kind of stuff that'll happen. He'll be fine.
Yeah. And, again, obviously you're hoping that Kimbrel is going to be available throughout the season, but like not going to worry about this right now until there is something to worry about long-term with Craig Kimbrel. So hopefully he will be back in the Orioles bullpen fold here over the next few days, and we'll be good to go. Again, there were question marks as to whether or not he would be available last night. He wasn't. Maybe he was available, and we just don't know because the Orioles opted to use Jacob Webb in that ninth inning spot. But we'll see over the next few days if Craig Kimbrel is back. But yeah, you've got to expect a little bit of up and down here and the streakiness because that is who Craig Kimbrel has been over the last few seasons of his career. But let's go to the starting rotation here, Bones, with the big story of the week being the return of Kyle Bradish and John Means. They are on their way back to the Orioles starting rotation. Their next starts will be in Orioles uniforms. We're not exactly sure when they're going to start right now. Tomorrow's starter for the Orioles is still to be announced. We are guessing, assuming, hoping, fingers crossed that that might be Kyle Bradish, but the rotation has not officially been announced yet, and we could see John Means later in the week as well out in Cincinnati. Last start for Bradish in Norfolk, he goes 5 innings, 1 earned, 6 strikeouts. Last start for John Means in Norfolk, 7 innings, no earned, 8 strikeouts, which was huge because there were some more question marks about John Means, too. I mean, he had struggled a little bit in his rehab outings, but that last outing for John Means, absolutely dominant. The velocity kicked up a little bit on his fastball, looked like the John Means of old, and I think after the rehab starts from both of those guys, we can be confident in saying that they are going to be solid pieces of the starting rotation moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, the Means start, how nice was that to see? And you know, Bradish, obviously coming off the season he's coming off from last year. I think the expectations are pretty high for him. But Means, I mean, we don't really know what we're going to get. This is a guy who's had trouble staying on the field recently. But to see something like that is really encouraging to see what he did in Norfolk. And yeah, I hope we see those guys this week. Adding those two to this rotation, a healthy version of those two who can be pretty consistent, that makes this team a whole different animal, you know?
Yeah.
If you go in this rotation from Burns to Rodriguez to Bradish to Means and they're all on, I mean, how are you going to beat this team? I really don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's awesome. I think that if they got those players back this week, this team takes another leap that I don't even think people realized it could.
Yeah, it's a heck of a top four in the starting rotation if Bradish and Means are both pitching up to their potential. And we didn't get to see it last year, obviously, because Corbin Burns was not on this team in 2023. We got to see a little bit of a glimpse of it at the tail end of last year when Bradish was pitching his butt off and John Means looked great at the tail end of the season, and it was second half of the season, Grayson Rodriguez. I think you saw the potential of what this starting rotation could be, and obviously now you add in a former Cy Young winner and Corbin Burns into the fold, and you've got something pretty special in the starting rotation. So let's talk about what it means for the rotation and how that roster breakdown is going to look, because we know that Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez are locks to stay in the starting rotation. Bradish and Means, I think, are both locks to be in the rotation. Bradish, certainly, I would be very, very surprised if Means wasn't a starter. He has earned that with his track record over the past few seasons. Both of those guys should be in the starting rotation. So that just leaves one spot. Unless Brandon Hyde wants to go to a six-man rotation, which we saw a little bit last year, it's a possibility that I'm not going to completely rule out. But if they're going with a traditional five-man rotation, that leaves one spot for Albert Suarez, Dean Kramer, and Cole Irvin. Tyler Wells is out of that equation because of injury, so Tyler Wells is not going to be really a part of that conversation, I don't think. I think among that group of three, Albert Suarez is probably, unfortunately, the easier one to rule out of that starting rotation conversation.
But it was fun.
It was really fun.
It was so much
fun. It was
fun.
An awesome story.
I love watching Albert pitch.
Really, really admirably in the three starts that he's had in an Orioles uniform up in the big leagues, but he's just not going to start over two guys with a track record in Dean Kramer and Cole Irvin.
If this was a bad team, he could be here.
Sure.
But it's not.
It's not.
I'm sorry, Albert.
Albert Suarez, he has had great stuff. We're going to continue to talk about him in the potential bullpen conversation and how this starting rotation construction impacts that. But Albert Suarez, probably out of the starting rotation. I do think there is a possibility that the Orioles go with a six-man rotation. I would be surprised because, you know, it limits your upside a little bit. Yes, you have six starters, and that's great, and you're saving innings, and you're doing all that good stuff, but it puts your rest days a little bit out of whack, especially for somebody like Corbin Burns, who is incredibly methodical and, you know, has a process for every fifth day. It's also limiting the amount of starts that you get from your really high upside guys, and you don't want to limit the amount of starts that Corbin Burns is getting, that Grayson Rodriguez is getting, because you want to win as many ball games as possible, unless the thinking is I want to save them for later on in the season, make sure they're fresh for the playoffs, whatever it may be. I think there's pros and cons to a potential six-man rotation. I would be surprised if they went to it, though.
It's going to be hard for me to see Irvin out of the rotation.
Yeah.
13 and two-thirds scoreless innings. I mean, for his last 13 and two-thirds. I mean, the guy over his last three starts has been diabolically good.
Yeah.
And a six-man is interesting. I don't know how many teams run a six-man over the last, like, 5 years.
I don't think many teams have consistently. I mean, the Orioles did for a little bit a season ago just because you were trying to rotate guys in, you were trying to keep guys fresh. But I don't think there's a team in baseball that has done a six-man rotation consistently over the last few years.
Yeah, not that I can remember anyway. Now, the thing is, obviously, again, good problem to have. But when you have a guy like Burns, and you said this, but when you have a guy like Burns and a guy like Rodriguez who are just dominating every time they go out, except for that Angel start for Grayson, you don't really want to mess up their mojo and whatnot, and you want to keep them on the same schedule because even the smallest things can screw them up.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's a chance they're that good, and they'll say, yeah, I don't care.
I think it would be less about, you know, trying to not throw off their timing and routines and things like that. Yeah. And more
pitchers are so crazy.
You know, like, I would kind of equate it to adding another hitter to the starting lineup, right? It's like, yeah, in theory, if you added a 10th hitter to the starting lineup, they might be pretty good and they might contribute, but also Gunnar Henderson at the top of the lineup might be getting fewer at-bats now. Yeah. And that's nothing against somebody like Dean Kramer or Cole Irvin, but you don't want to limit the amount of starts that you are giving.
You want your Corbin best guys Burns out Grayson there Rodriguez. As much like, as possible.
You want Corbin Burns to post 30 plus times this year because that's what you traded for, right?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, because the rotation, Dean will probably be the fifth guy. I mean, if you had to imagine, it'll be him. I'd be pretty shocked if they moved him to the bullpen.
Yeah.
So you're looking at you're now Cole Irvin's a swing man. In what situations are you really using him? That's the problem. You still want him to pitch because he's good.
Sure.
But what situation are you really going to use him in? He's a long relief guy. If somebody blows up early in the game, maybe he's just, you know, maybe they try and transition him to a later inning kind of guy. But I don't know. I don't see him doing that. He's just he's a starter, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's a tough situation. You know, I think there's a lot of teams that would like to be in this position, but it is a difficult one nonetheless. Injuries are going to happen, so you'll have him for that. But I don't know, man. This is a tough one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think Dean Kramer is probably going to be the one that rounds out the starting rotation. If the Orioles go with a traditional five-man rotation, he had 32 starts last year with a 4.12 ERA. He's been very solid once again this season. Looked great against the Yankees last night.
Oh, my goodness. He was incredible. Last night.
7 innings, 2 earned runs.
2 solo shots, too, which if you're going to give up a couple runs, I'm okay with 2 solo shots.
Sure. Yeah, and the biggest thing with Dean Kramer versus Cole Irvin in this conversation is that Dean Kramer has not been a reliever in his career.
Never once.
He has been a starter for the Orioles consistently.
Every single appearance.
And there's something to be said for the fact that Cole Irvin has reliever experience. As good as he has looked over his last 3 starts, a 0.98 ERA for Irvin in his last 3 outings, 11 strikeouts, 2 walks. It's hard to put a guy like that in the bullpen because he has not deserved any sort of demotion. But Dean Kramer has given you consistent quality outings for multiple seasons now.
Yeah.
And it would be really hard to bump somebody like that out of the starting rotation, especially given the fact that he has not been an effective bullpen arm before. Not that he wouldn't be able to, but he hasn't shown you that.
Yeah, you're not going to just say, all right, Dean, it's bullpen time. You know, I just don't think that's going to happen. So,
but Cole Irvin was very solid out of the bullpen for the Orioles a season ago. And it would not surprise me if the Orioles say, look, you know, we don't want Cole Irvin to go anywhere. This is still a really good pitcher. He's still a good starting pitcher, but he can be just as effective out of the bullpen. Sure, he's maybe not giving you as much value as he would in the starting rotation, but a valuable bullpen arm is still a valuable piece. And I don't think Cole Irvin is going to go anywhere. I think he's going to be a solid piece of the Orioles bullpen. I think we could see him in a very similar role to what we're seeing from Keegan Aiken right now. Keegan Aiken is a converted starter as well. Keegan Aiken made a bunch of starts for the Orioles a couple of seasons ago. Didn't work out exactly the way that they were hoping to, so they put him in the bullpen, and he's been really effective this year especially. And I think Cole Irvin could be in a very similar role where it's a lefty out of the bullpen. They're going to give you 2 innings. Irvin could give you 3 or 4 if you needed him to. And those kinds of guys are incredibly valuable, especially when you have Kyle Bradish and John Means returning from injury. And yes, during their rehab assignments, they have ramped up their number of pitches, but they're not going 100 yet.
Yeah.
So Kyle Bradish, John Means, for at least the first few starts here when they come back, you might be looking at five innings of work, where you would need somebody like Cole Irvin to come in, clean up six and seven to get it to your bullpen in the eighth.
Maybe. That's not a bad idea. I mean, yeah, I mean, this is a tough situation. I don't know what they're going to do with Cole Irvin. Like, a six-man rotation makes sense to me, but at the same time, I just don't think they're going to do that, right? Like, I just, am I crazy for thinking that just won't happen?
For thinking that Cole Irvin just won't be in the bullpen, or thinking that there
no,
won't
I
be
No, I just don't think they're
going to
do a six-man. I think they're going to keep it a five-man, and Cole's going to be a long relief guy.
I would be surprised if there is a six-man rotation. I'd just be pretty shocked. You don't see it in baseball much, and the reason is that it's not all that effective.
Yeah, I mean,
I know they have six good starters, and most good teams do not have six good starters, but
here's what I think they're going to tell him. Like, hey, you're going to the bullpen, but you're going to get more starts this season, something like that. If somebody gets hurt, you're the first guy up, something like that. You know, like, that's all they can say. What are they supposed to say? You know, like, it's a tough situation to be in, but, you know, you can't punish, you know, you don't want to punish Cole Irvin for playing as well as he is, but it's just really the only option you have. I mean, unless you want to put Kramer in the bullpen, but as we've said, he's never done that.
Sure. So let's talk about what this means for the bullpen, because Cole Irvin, we are assuming, might get bumped to the bullpen out of the starting rotation. Right now, you've got six locks. You've got Craig Kimbrell, Yennier Cano, Danny Coulomb, Jacob Webb, Cionel Perez, and Keegan Aiken. I don't think those six guys are going anywhere once Kyle Bradish and John Means come back. Could be surprised. I was surprised that Dylan Tate got optioned. I would have put him in that lock category as well. Obviously, that didn't turn out to be the case. But by my best estimate, I think you've got six locks in the bullpen right now. Mike Baumann, Yoan Ramirez, Albert Suarez, Cole Irvin, to me, are the four guys that I would put in the conversation for the final two bullpen spots. None of them have options, which means that when Kyle Bradish and John Means return, you are probably looking at DFAing two of those pitchers. You would have to imagine that Cole Irvin gets one of those spots. I don't think there's any way that we see Cole Irvin get DFA'd after the way he has pitched this year, the way he pitched at the tail end of last year. If he doesn't have a spot in the starting rotation, he certainly has a spot in the bullpen somewhere, which leaves one spot for Baumann, Ramirez, and Suarez.
You've got to assume it's Baumann, right? Like,
I don't know if you have to assume it's Mike Baumann.
Do you think they're going to give it to Suarez? Like, what a weird situation that is.
Sure.
This is such a weird bullpen situation.
It is a very strange bullpen situation. I think there are obviously arguments to and against all three guys.
Yeah.
With Yoan Ramirez, I feel like he could be one of the odd men out because he was a waiver claim from the Mets. He hasn't been here
very
long. We've
seen him like a couple times.
We have not seen him very often, which indicates to me, at least, that Brandon Hyde doesn't have a ton of confidence in putting him, you know, in a high-leverage situation somewhere. He's the type of guy where I think the Orioles just wanted to see what they had in the arm because the stuff is good. Wanted to see if the command was there, if they were able to, you know, get something out of another waiver claim, as the Orioles always seem to do. But with Bradish and Means coming back and this roster really getting squeezed, I think Yoan Ramirez could be one of those odd men out. Brandon Hyde hasn't been thrown him much, and I think that's a pretty good indication of how he feels about him and his usage. Baumann and Suarez, I think, could be the final competition. Mike Baumann has the stuff, and he had a good 2023. He had a 3.76 ERA, struck out 8.5 batters per 9 innings. And Mike Baumann has not been as bad this year as his ERA would indicate. ERA is just over 5 in 12 games, striking out 11 batters per 9. You would like to see the command be a little bit better. He's walking over 5 batters per 9 innings, and the whip is over 1,800. That's not very good. The ERA and the whip, not great. He has not been finding the strike zone very well. But Mike Baumann has been in this organization for a long time. The Orioles like his stuff, clearly. He can get up to 98, 99. There are arguments for and against it because he hasn't looked great in 2024. Albert Suarez has. And so if you're looking at it from that perspective, just of who has the better numbers, then Suarez might get the nod. But Baumann still has the stuff, and I think the organization believes that.
I do too. I don't think they're going to DFA Baumann. They could. I mean, they surprised me with Dylan Tate not long ago. But here's the thing about Suarez is what is his role in the bullpen? You know, like, is he just the swingman now? Like, I don't know that his, like, I think he's a starter.
Sure.
You know, like, I don't know what you're getting out of him in a bullpen role. And if you're, just if you're comparing Bauman to Suarez, like, I just think Bauman wins that battle just because of his versatility within the bullpen.
Sure.
And Suarez is a good player, and we've seen what he's done recently, and I've loved watching him, but I just don't think he's going to fill a role, a need in the bullpen. I think he's been awesome for what he's been, but I'm not sure he's more than what he's been.
See, that's where I think I disagree on, okay, on Suarez, because, yes, we have seen him be effective as a starter. His stuff is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, we have seen the fastball get up to, what, 97?
Yeah.
I would be very curious to see what Albert Suarez could do in a bullpen type of role.
Okay.
Because the four-seamer has looked good. The changeup has been really solid this year. I think if we saw Suarez in a shorter inning burst kind of role, maybe we could even see that fastball velocity continue to tick up a little bit. Because it's a lot higher right now than I think anybody was expecting this offseason.
Yeah.
It was higher than I expected him out of the gate this season. So if a fastball can touch 96, 97 for Suarez, and then in a short inning or two burst, we're talking about 97, 98 relatively consistently with a good cutter, good changeup, and he's got a curveball that he can mix in every once in a while as well. I would be very curious to see what Suarez can do in that sort of role, because he's really got a three-pitch mix. He doesn't throw the curveball very often. And that profiles as more of a bullpen arm than it does a starter's arm. I know that Suarez, you know, went and played in Korea to try to figure out how to be a starting pitcher, and he came back to the big leagues, and he's gotten a shot, and that's so cool. And if Suarez is in a situation where, you know, maybe the organization tries to do right by him and say, you know what, we'll DFA you, try to give you a chance to go be a starter somewhere, because that's not going to be here. I could see that playing out as a scenario as well. But I think he could be really effective out of the bullpen. His stuff looks great, and hitters have been having a hard time with Suarez. I mean, he's up close to 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's only walking 2 batters per 9. He has a really good feel for the strike zone. I don't see why he wouldn't be able to be effective out of the bullpen.
I can't tell you whether he would or he wouldn't be, but I can tell you it's a different game starting than coming out of the bullpen. And some guys can do it, some guys can't. And maybe he can. I just don't see it. I don't see him taking that spot over Mike Bauman, a guy who, like you said, has been in the organization for a long time. We know he's got the stuff. He contributed a ton last year. I'd be pretty surprised if they really, at the end of the day, weighed everything and said, all right, Suarez over Bauman. I just don't really see it.
I think it's possible.
If it happened, I'd be all in. I'd be so interested to see what happens.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's possibility to what you said as well, as I was thinking, too, was they DFA him, let him go be a starter for a team that needs one rather than waste away in the Orioles bullpen.
And look, I know what Mike Bauman has done out of the bullpen in the past. As mentioned, 60 games last year with a 3.76 ERA. That's a good bullpen arm.
Yeah.
But the Orioles are trying to win as many baseball games as they can right now. They're in an incredibly competitive division, and they're trying to repeat here. And I think Albert Suarez, as he has pitched thus far this season, has looked better than Mike Bauman. His numbers are better. I know it's in a different role, but as a starter, he has come in and far, far exceeded expectations. Whereas Mike Bauman has fallen beneath your expectations for him in 2024.
I suppose the question then becomes, how far does Mike Bauman have to fall beneath, and how high does Suarez have to soar above to change their mind?
Sure.
Maybe they've hit that point. Maybe they haven't. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. And with Bauman, too, I mean, look, we have been surprised when guys have been DFA'd before, because we've sat here and said, oh, another team in baseball is certainly going to claim this guy if he gets DFA'd.
Yeah.
Like we said the same thing about, you know, Ryan McKenna. It was like, well, if Ryan McKenna gets DFA'd, somebody's going to claim him because he's a quality defensive outfielder and, you know, he's got a solid platoon bat against left-handed pitching. Certainly, some team around baseball is going to find a role for somebody like Ryan McKenna. And then he didn't end up getting claimed by another team. This has happened a ton over the last few years where you look at somebody and say, they've just got too much talent to not go claimed. I would be very surprised if they don't. Michael Elias and company have a pulse of the league. And I think what this could really come down to with, you know, as we are projecting only two spots available for four guys in Bauman, Ramirez, Suarez, and Irvin. Irvin's not going to get DFA'd. I think he's got one of those spots. I think it's really down to the final three for just one spot in Bauman, Ramirez, and Suarez. I think this very well could come down to Mike Elias and company having a pulse of the league and saying which one of these guys would get claimed if we DFA them, and then which ones of them would not. And if there are guys that we don't believe would get claimed and we would be able to option down to AAA Norfolk and have at some point throughout the season if we need another arm, that's the direction they're going to go in. Because I don't think, you know, the Orioles want to keep all three of these guys. In a perfect world where you've got bigger rosters, we're not having this conversation because Mike Bauman has a ton of upside with his stuff, as does Yoan Ramirez, and Albert Suarez has had an outstanding 2024. So in a perfect world, you don't have to make any sort of move here. You can just call up Kyle Bradish and John Means and have them ready to go, and you don't have to worry about this. The Orioles want to keep all three of these guys. I think it's just going to be a matter of who they believe they could maybe sneak through waivers to keep in the organization long term. And I think that's what the decision is going to come down to.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. But so you think that's what, Yoan and Bauman?
I think those two could be the possibility. But again, we're talking about Cole Irvin going to the bullpen. Is Albert Suarez? It's really a question of what sort of role Albert Suarez would have in a potential bullpen. Because is he a swingman type? You don't really need another one of those. If Cole Irvin is in the bullpen joining Keegan Aiken, you would then have three guys who can give you two or three innings, which sounds cool on the surface, but you want as many high leverage guys as possible. Do you believe that Albert Suarez can be a seventh, eighth inning sort of pitcher? If you do, then maybe you have more confidence in him right now than Mike Bauman, who is probably not viewed as a seventh, eighth inning pitcher right now by Brandon Hyde. I think that's the question. What role do you see Albert Suarez in if he remains on this team in some capacity?
I've said it. I don't think he's a bullpen arm, but
yeah,
I guess maybe they'll you know, contort him into whatever they need him to be.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. There are going to be a lot of decisions to be made here as Kyle Bradish and John Means are returning at some point this week. We are excited to have both of those guys back in the starting rotation. I think it makes the Orioles top four incredibly dangerous. And hey, don't discount Dean Kramer either. If he keeps that fifth spot, which just went seven innings, two earned runs against the vaunted New York Yankees. We've got two more games against the Yankees here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Make sure you show out, yell real loud, all that good stuff. But that's just going to do it for this week's edition of The Bird's Nest. Make sure you follow along with us live on YouTube and Facebook every Wednesday at 11 a.m. If you don't catch us live, you can catch us after the fact on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts or your digital shows. You can find us here on The Bird's Nest. Big thank you to Amy Jennings behind the scenes for producing this one. For Matt Bonaparte, I am Brennan Mortensen, and we'll catch you next time.